The Joe O Show.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
So they call this the slowest sports day on the calendar. That's all right. We got a lot of fun planned this evening for the next 4 hours. So you don't have anything planned, just hang out. That's all. Right here, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com and the radio.com app. I want to get to some White Sox conversation in just a minute. A lot of times I'm on against the games and I don't get a chance to talk a lot of White Sox, but I think that there are so many issues with this team, and I disagree with a lot of the stuff that's been thrown out there. Cody Westerlund will drop by at 7 o'clock. We'll talk some Bulls. We strongly disagree on Russell Westbrook, so that'll be fun. 8 o'clock hour. I want to find out about some of these Cubs prospects that might be going elsewhere in some deals and what is going on with Ian Happ and some of the other guys down there. So we're going to have back-to-back guests in the same segment. Mick Gillespie, he's the voice of the Tennessee Smokies. He's there with the AA team. Then right after him at 8:10, Alex Cohen, the voice of the Iowa Cubs. They're at AAA. He'll talk about the players on that level. So it should be a lot of fun. I feel like we don't know a ton about everything going on in the minor leagues with the Cubs. And we also saw a lot of players in that All-Star game last night, former Cubs, as they've been trying to get another title, just moving some names out. So who are some names that could get you something back here? 9 o'clock, Joe Colley will mix things up, and we'll talk about the Bulls and the NBA with Joe. And I think I have to squeeze in a Steelers question, because I always do, and there's an angle I think that will really upset Joe. And we mentioned it during the transition. Congrats once again to Nick Szczepkowski, going to be a father, so they made that announcement. And I was actually thinking this morning about some of the issues. Let's say most annoying things you go through as a parent of a toddler. Mine are 6 and 4. And over the last couple of days, I've had all the duties in the morning, getting the kids off to camp. Usually that's not the case. Typically my wife works from home, very lucky. So she goes into the office maybe once a week, but this summer's been rough. She's had to travel a lot, but we all have our own issues. But I've got to tell you, and this is nothing serious. For the most part, things aren't too serious when you're talking about a four-year-old girl. But there is nothing more annoying and at the same time more intimidating than trying to do a girl's hair, especially a four-year-old that has about 10 pounds of curly hair. And she knows that you don't know what you're doing, but she's the best because she says, you're doing a great job, so much better than mom. But every day, it's just a disaster when I'm in charge of getting the kids off to school or to camp. And I don't think it's going to get any better. Oh, today, 30 minutes. I'm telling you, 30 minutes. Like, no, it's wrong again. Why is all this? Why isn't the band tight enough? We got the wrong sizes. What about the big bow and what kind of spray? Oh, just a mess. So if you guys have any tips out there, some veterans out there on the text line at 67011, tweets at Joe0670, please help me out. Is there a YouTube video or something? Because nowadays, that's what you go to, right? The other day I was having problems with the ceiling fan, couldn't fix a light, wiring was an issue. Go to YouTube. You can find a video to help you out. Anything around the house. Even if you're not a handyman. Now you just go to YouTube just like the kids do. So maybe there's some help out there for me. Oh, it is so frustrating. Happy to see, and maybe you missed this while you're at work today, happy to see that the White Sox have started extending the protective netting over at Guaranteed Rate Field, going from foul pole to foul pole. First club in baseball to do this. Also on board, other teams that made the announcements, Pirates, Nationals, Rangers. So apparently most of the work will be done by July 22nd when the White Sox take on Miami. I hope other clubs decide to do the very same thing. And they had this window, and they acted immediately. Good for them. and especially in Chicago, where we saw what happened with Almora and Houston and Aloy Jimenez. He hit somebody. I'm glad to see the White Sox so proactive. I just don't see an argument on the other side. I don't see it at all. A lot of text reaction. People have thoughts. See, I'm happy to see some of you feel the very same frustrations as I do. Ponytails. Yes, I gave up. I just went to the ponytail. That's what I did. I stopped, I guess, trying. But listen, they're going to go to the splash pad anyways. They're going to be running around. That's all they want to do. The hair's going to get messed up. Why are we wasting all this time trying to make it look perfect? There's a video of a dad that uses a vacuum. Oh, I need to look that up. I'm sure you can get in a YouTube wormhole. There's probably a bunch of hilarious videos with fathers just trying to fix and figure out girls' hair. For the most of the first few years, I've gotten away scot-free with this. I didn't have to deal with it. But lately, oh, man. All right. We have to leave in a half hour. So you ate, you brushed your teeth, you're all dressed, shoes are on already. It's time to work on the hair. This is going to be a disaster. But thank you for telling me that I'm doing a great job, Dad, and I'm the best. Appreciate it. Girls are the best. Kind of hope Shep gets a girl. That would be awesome. But son, too, of course. I got the best of both worlds. Boy, girl. Okay, we're done. We're done. All right, there's my tangent for you. But I will continue to take your suggestions, because I know there's a lot of you that have a lot more experience, especially some of the grandfathers out there. As far as the White Sox also go, you have the netting announcement today, and there were pictures I saw on the Tribune's website of some of the progress that they made today. They're such a fascinating club right now. So there was news the other day that the White Sox had the best cable TV ratings in the last 5 years. Highest cable TV ratings since July 2014. I think about that. In this era of cord cutting and baseball losing fans, their TV ratings are going up. That's how much interest there is in the White Sox. Last July, the White Sox had the worst TV ratings of any of the 29 American baseball teams. Dead last with the mixture of Hawk and Stoney and Benetti. And now they have the highest TV ratings they've had in the last 5 years. Attendance around baseball, it's dropping. So far this year, it's down for the fourth consecutive season. Baseball has a few problems they need to try and fix. Sox attendance is up. Last year, 25th in baseball, an average of 20,100, and they're up 2,000 a game. Nice jump in addition to the win total. From 25th to 19th so far in all of baseball. And the Cubs have actually gone down. Not anything to worry about, of course, but it just tells you about the habits, what's going on in 2019. The Cubs were fifth last year. Now they moved up to fourth, but the attendance is down over 1,000 fans a game. So there's a bit of a buzz. We felt it with Cease, and with what's happening with Giolito, what Moncada's doing, when Aloy was called up. So many points this season. And now sits the trade deadline 3 weeks from today. Now, Theo's been dropping hints on the north side about the Cubs. That, oh, well, maybe we'll make a big move. And people thinking, oh, the core four. Please. The Cubs are in first place. Is that going to change in the next 3 weeks? Maybe. But they'll be in second place. They'll be in the picture. They're not going to be in a position where they should sell. Uh-uh. And you aren't even paying Baez, Bryant, Contreras. You started to pay Rizzo, but not really yet. And I don't know if you're really going to have to pay him a monster deal. But the White Sox, I hear so many people say, well, what do you do? Do you go for it? Are you kidding me? First off, they're not at the 500 mark. And they had this huge jump. Last year, they were 29 games under. This year, they're two games under at the All-Star break. Have we looked at some standings? 12 and a half games back in the division, 7 games back in the wild card, and you still have one legitimate starter. I know Cease is part of it now, but he's going to go through his growing pains. We all know that. And some are wondering, well, what do you do with Abreu? What about Colome, McCann? Are you kidding me? What do you do? If all goes according to plan, right? It was about 2020. Maybe it was pushed back a little bit. Maybe with all of the injuries, it's understandable if you just did think, okay, I don't know if 2020 is realistic with this club. But this might be the last time, the last trade deadline that you sell. And you have the single trade deadline coming up in 3 weeks. I'm trading it all. Of course we're not talking about the core guys, Mankata, and we believe Tim Anderson and all the younger guys that they have under control for a long period of time that they hope are superstars. But the Abreu, listen, because of this single trade deadline, it's a seller's market. I was on Monday morning hosting with Mully, and John Heyman was doing his weekly spot. I asked him about the National League Central. Is everybody buying? He said yes. It's a seller's market. Teams are going to have 2.5 to 3 weeks to make a final decision. You don't buy, you don't give away big pieces in the organization for the possibility of a wild card anymore. Teams understand you need to win that division, not for that coin flip game. So Abreu, guy that can add a bat as a DH or coming off the bench or, of course, working some at first base, yes, you trade him. He says he's going to sign himself. Okay, he really wants to be here. And as far as Abreu goes, you can still deal him and bring him back. Bruce Levine was bringing that up with us last night. Is there a guy that's screaming he's going to be starting opening day next year at first base? No. You're going to get an old guy in free agency? What's the point of that? Number three pick, you just use Andrew Vaughn. You have Zach Collins. There's Gavin Sheets, Jake Berger. There's a bunch of guys that could play the position. I don't know if anybody's ready right now. And if Abreu wants to be here, like he says, when he signed 1 or 2 years, I'd be up for that. The guy was an all-star again. Alex Colome. He's going to be 31 next year. And the thought that I hear so many people bring up is, well, if you're going to contend in 2020, you don't want to have another hole in the team. You don't want to get rid of Colome, and then you have to look for a closer. Fine. Is his value going to be higher than it is right now? And have you looked at some of the other numbers? He's under control for next season. Go beyond that 2.02 ERA. He has a 4.67 xFIP. 4.67. His strikeouts are actually down this year. And the BABIP, batting average of balls in play, only 124. League average, usually around 300. So I don't know how long this run is going to continue for Colome. James McCann, an older catcher, under control for one more year. He's got a WAR of 3. You have to consider it. And surprisingly, Lurie Garcia has been your fourth most valuable player according to WAR. A team looks for a utility player that can come off the bench and do different things. The Yonder Alonso signing was a disaster. We saw the DFA, but it's not like there's somebody waiting for that Abreu spot. All of these guys are on the table for me. All of them. I'm in sell mode over the next 3 weeks if I'm Rakan. What do you think? 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Herb Lawrence in this producing tonight along with Julio Rosell. Herb, a huge Sox guy. Where are you on this trade deadline, Herbie?
Oh, I'm 100% trade everybody. I've been on trade Abreu for a while now. He's great. He represents the White Sox well, and they like his leadership, and he has more value to them than on another team, but get something. If he's going to come back eventually, give me something. You can get a decent player for Jose Abreu if you think he's so special as a White Sox fan.
And you accumulate as many prospects as you possibly can. Look at what's happened if you're a Sox fan over the last couple of years. All the injuries that have gone on. Don't you want to add even more depth? Because look at this Cubs window. And they're in buy mode every single year now. And now look at the system.
And another thing,
this is your last chance.
Another thing with Abreu, he is not the hitter he was originally.
Yes.
Like, since he got in this league where he was like a 173 OPS plus guy, he's 118 now. He's more driving in runs and the stuff that really you can't control he's doing. But he's not the hitter that he was initially when he hit the door. And with the James McCann thing, he's not this guy. I appreciate what he's done in the pre-All-Star game.
I'll take the 5 years.
Yeah, but what I would want is somebody wants to overpay for James McCann. That BABIP is almost like 410. His career is like 312. So some correction will happen.
Yeah, it's 124 right now. 124. I'm talking about the Column A one. I'm sorry about that. So you're saying the correction about McCann.
Oh, yeah.
And also with the Column A thing, what do we hear all the time? I've heard Theo Epstein talk about this a bunch, just with bullpens. You can't predict them up and down from year to year so much. So to expect that Column A is going to be a lockdown closer in his age 31 season, I don't know. That's a big ask. For what you can get right now for a year and a half, all of the teams that are going to be looking to add at this deadline, think about that. There are going to be some looking for a closer. And a lot of years, especially recently, boy, is that a commodity. Boy, can you get a haul. I don't know if you get a haul for Column A, but what if you get a prospect that would be top 10 to 15 in your system? Isn't it worth taking that shot?
Yeah, and another thing with James McCann, as the texter points out, he gets all the credit for, or some of the credit for, Lucas Giolito being good this year.
Because Giolito gives him that credit publicly.
Okay, what happened to Ronaldo Lopez?
Okay.
Does he not talk to him? Does he say, hey, get him out of here? He's young, too. Let's go.
If you're going to take the praise,
get a little blame for Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah, sure. All right, what do you think about this trade deadline? I think it's cut and dry. It seems obvious to me what the Sox should do. The Cubs, that's a conversation. Even though they're probably going to buy, it's just, do they push all of their chips in? But the White Sox, 3 weeks away, 7 games back in the wild card, and I don't even think you push the chips in for the wild card. It's about the division. They're not catching Minnesota. Cleveland, they have an outside shot at catching Minnesota, but the White Sox aren't catching Minnesota. Come on. This is an easy call right here. 312-644-6767. Text 67011. Tweets at Joe 0670. Mike is in Deerfield and on the score.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Love your show so far.
Thank you, Mike.
This is exactly what the Chicago sports fan wants to talk about right now. And I'm glad that you got me through, because I am really wound up about what you're saying
right
now. I agree with you hardcore on James McCann. He's due a correction. It's going to come, and we need to unload him before that happens. Couldn't agree with you more. Mm-hmm. Column A, you're not going to get much for him, even though he's like 19 for 21 in saves, because he's just not that good. No one watches him pitch and says, this guy I got to have. Jose Abreu is the foundation of this team. A lot of their players are young Latino, Hispanic, Cuban players that look up to him. And Jerry Reinsdorf is the ultimate loyalist. He will never allow Abreu to be traded. I can tell you that right now.
Mike, why can't you bring him back in 2 months?
Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But anytime you lose control of an asset, you lose control of an asset. This guy is a 30-100 guy, and you're not going to find that very. You know, we don't have another guy that's going to be 30-100. Maybe Moncada.
That's why I'm all about signing him for another year or even 2 years. I would sign up for that. But what if Vaughn's going to be up at some point next season? I mean, you can move him and bring him back for a year.
Yeah, I agree with you. You can take that chance, and yeah, you know what? It's probably better than 50% that you get him back. I mean, look at what the guy did when he won the game with the home run the other day. He's about to cross home plate. He takes off his helmet and kisses the Sox logo. Jerry Reinsdorf is never going to let this guy go.
And it's like Canerco giving him the baseball, right? Thank you for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. Paul in Palatine, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just listening to the conversation, and you know, one point to bring up is when you're trying to build that team, you can't do it with all rookies or second-year guys.
Mm-hmm.
You always do need to have some experienced players to balance it out as well. So that's why, unless you can get something really good for an Abreu, a McCann, or Colin A., you're going to need that experience in 20 or 21 when you're really going to be ready to make the run. So that's why, unless you can get an outstanding offer, I would be hesitant to get rid of, you know, all three of those or even a couple of them.
All right. Thank you, Paul, for checking in on Sports Radio 670. The Score. Checking out the text line 67011-773. Colum A sucks. I agree. Get rid of him. This is a one-year thing for him. 815, what are you smoking? Abreu is an all-star. His runners in scoring position is one of the best in all of baseball. Another texter, your White Sox talk, thought weed wasn't going to be legal for another 6 months. So what do you think? 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. I'm in sell mode. I don't see the argument on the other side. I don't get it. Where is it? This might be your last chance. If this rebuild works, every trade deadline moving forward, you're going to be in buy mode. And you're going to need to move some of these prospects that you've been acquiring. That's the idea. And who knows? Maybe they're going to need to move multiple prospects to finish out the rotation for next year. Even with Kopech coming back and maybe Rodon at some point. 312-644-6767. You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Yoan Moncada comes over from the Red Sox and, you know, doesn't really know anyone, you know, whatever. I was kind of in the same boat. But, you know, as a Latin player, doesn't speak much English yet. You know, Jose's always there. He's taking care of those guys. You know, he can, you know, make everyone feel at home. Because you know he's been around the organization for a long, long time. He's super positive. Every once in a while, guys have bad game. I've never seen him get like super mad or overthink anything. He keeps it very, very simple.
Joe O, night 6 to 10.
All-star Lucas Giolito there. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Guys, the whole trading Chris Sale and then, oh, we couldn't get him back. How'd that work out? Equating that to Abreu doesn't work here. Doesn't work. That's what I keep getting right now. Whoa, first off, who thought they were going to sign Chris Sale in free agency? Who thought that? And he went to the Red Sox. And the market's the same? I mean, really? Stop.
I mean, literally.
Stop.
Jose Abreu said he wants to sign back with the White Sox.
He said, if they don't sign me, I'm going to sign me here, whatever that means.
Yeah, and like Jose Abreu is a free agent this offseason. Chris Sale wasn't a free agent ever.
Right. He won a World Series there. So are you that worried? Let's say Abreu goes somewhere. He wins a World Series. Great for him. So now you're going to cry? We can't get Abreu back now? What do we do? Sorry, he's not on that level. He's not going to go down as the best White Sox, one of the best White Sox players of all time. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, Sale. Abreu on that level? Not even close. Come on. Stop. Well, how'd that work out? You move on. You can get another first baseman.
I think everybody understood when Chris Sale left here, he was gone for good.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Herb Lawrence on the other side of the glass, our executive producer tonight. You've got Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670. The Score. Herbie, I had no idea that there were Abreu people, and maybe it's because they watched him in the All-Star game last night and they were proud, but there are Abreu people out there. I think it's nice to see, actually, because he's accomplished a lot in a White Sox uniform. Mark in Michigan City, Indiana is now on the score. Good evening, Mark.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Herb. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on?
Good discussion you're having, and I'm agreeing with Abreu about moving him on, and chances of are good of getting him back. Outside of Abreu, though, and let's say the White Sox and Hahn got a selling inclination, does Hahn go out there, put the word out that he's a seller, let it sneak out there?
Yeah.
Or do guys call him inquiring? Then I think there's going to be hesitation about people calling Rick Hahn for certain assets, being that he took Washington, Boston, and the Cubs to the cleaners.
Yes, he did.
Three in a row.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the phone call. A little of column A and the little of column B to answer your question. I'm going to go both ways. Hahn will reach out to other teams. I think that's what they should be doing. I mean, buying or stand? Why would you stand pat? Why? Seven games back of the wild card. The wild card. Seven games back from the coin flip game. And you have this rotation for the second half of the season. What? It doesn't make any sense. The Sox have made a huge jump. It's great. It's, as far as I'm concerned, everything you could have asked for out of a Sox fan. Tim Anderson onto the scene. Unfortunately, he's dealt with the injury. You hope to see him. What Moncada's done. Aloy up. Now Cease is up. Of course, Giolito. You found James McCann. You didn't even know what a James McCann was. And he's playing in the All-Star game last night. Could it have gone any better for the White Sox? And you still sell. You're not at the 500 mark, and you don't buy for a possibility, an outside shot at a wild card spot. You don't do that. Twins got the division this year, it looks like. It looks like. Maybe the Indians will make a big run. We'll see what happens. They're going to have some tough decisions to make in the next 3 weeks. But keep in mind, with this single deadline and all the teams that are in the mix right now, including all five in the NL Central, sellers market, what you got? Sox have a lot of pieces. And you're not selling any of your core pieces. You're not. That's not what we're talking about at all. 312-644-6767 if you want to join the conversation. 630 texter, Sox need to sell and then focus all their efforts on Gerrit Cole and get a real ace. Giolito is a number two. Maybe, but I wouldn't throw a ceiling on Giolito right now. You just saw him go from the guy with the highest ERA in baseball, and there was a real conversation about him starting last night's All-Star game. I don't think you need to, after taking that jump, there's no need to put a ceiling on him right now. Nuh-uh. And if he's a two, where's Kopech going to be? Where's Cease going to be? Great problems to have if you're the White Sox. Great problems to have. 312-644-6767. Something else that has been going on locally with the All-Star break, they call it the slowest sports day of the year. There's been conversation about Russell Westbrook. And I got to admit, it's one of those things that I've gone back to the drawing board about. My immediate opinion and where I stand right now about adding Russell Westbrook to this Bulls team is different. I want to address this next. And I know my guy Herb Lawrence, executive producer of this show, he has some strong thoughts about this. And Cody Westerlund is going to join me in studio at 7 o'clock, and he disagrees with both of us. We're going to hit on that next. You've got Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670, The Score.
Understand, I don't think that Russell Westbrook is coming to the Bulls. I don't know that he would want to come to the Bulls. And the front office is not the kind of organization that would bring a player like Russell Westbrook over to the Bulls. But indulge me for a little bit here. And we'll talk about this as well with Cody Westerlund at 7 o'clock. I know he's got some strong opinions on this. But if you were to land him in a deal, first off, you're not going to have to give up as much as the Clippers did for Paul George, okay? Because I've heard that over the last couple of days. Well, look at what it took to get Paul George. Not the same situation. and the Clippers were extremely desperate. George is younger. He's a better player. That's why he landed more in a trade. Okay? LaVine and picks, probably, right? Sure, some of the bad money that you have on your roster would go to Oklahoma City to make it work out. But just consider this. Westbrook at your point guard. And Satoransky, he could play either guard position. And if you've been watching any of the summer league, and I don't blame you if you haven't, Coby White isn't just playing point guard. He's played the two as well. I'm not even sure that he's definitely going to be a point guard moving forward. We'll find out. And so Valentin will be healthy. Okay. But the depth that they've created in this offseason with players that are going to be available, pretty impressive. You have, of course, Otto Porter and Hutchinson at small forward, Markkanen, Thaddeus Young coming off the bench. Nice signing there. Nice signing. And at the five, Wendell Carter Jr. I want to see him be healthy first off and then take steps forward. And they signed Cornette. They love their second-round pick, Gafford. Felicio, just a complete disaster. I don't know if the Bulls are a playoff team right now. Westbrook, they are. They are. And they're relevant again. Would they win a championship? Nope. I can't tell you that. We just saw a Thunder team that had three consecutive first-round exits. But this Bulls roster isn't built the same as it was in Oklahoma City. Herb, I want to bring you in on this. I fully admit, my first reaction was no, on Westbrook. That doesn't make any sense. You're trashing the rebuild. But I got to say, do we really think that these two guys in control are going to build a championship contender? And look at how the league is won right now.
Absolutely not. This is their only move. It's kind of a desperation move, but it moves them in a better direction than the one they're currently going, where they're trying to build something. I mean, I look at the Jimmy Butler trade right now, and I'm like, you're trying to get rid of one of the pieces that you got in the Jimmy Butler trade. So what's going on with your roster selection?
Well, okay, first...
You had to over roster him because you got a new guy, Coby White, that's going to be taking his spot.
Herb, what's holding? Yeah, exactly. So, what's holding them back? Let's start there. Is it because you think LaVine's going to be a superstar? Because you're worried about the development of Coby White? And this guy's, I don't think he's going to be ready to start the season as your starting point guard. Or are you looking at free agent classes down the line with a team that hasn't been able to land the big fish?
Yeah, this is the problem. We all know that the people picking the players are the problem. But they're not going anywhere. So we got to work within that realm of that the reality of John and Gar are going to be here. What they need to do is know that they can't develop talent or they can't pick talent here and make it work with the Bulls. They got lucky with Derrick Rose. But since then, they've traded away Jimmy. They've traded away a lot of other pieces. They should know that their way of going about picking coaches, going about picking players, has been flawed. And try something different. Look at the rest of the league. If you bring a guy in like Russell Westbrook and you have the shooters still out there, like Satoransky, Otto Porter's a good shooter from the outside, Markkanen's a good shooter from the outside.
Yeah, we played that audio of Brian Windhorst last night, and that was a pretty good point.
Yeah.
That you still have all these shooters on this team and all the attention that Westbrook's going to draw.
Yeah, you got people collapsing defenses, driving kick. The man averaged 11 assists a game last year, a triple-double, even though he's declining. I'm put those in quotes.
Yeah, and that's fair to bring up. What is his age 31 season coming up, I believe?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a fallacy to think that Zach LaVine is going to turn to a superstar. We had Tony on with Julie last night, and he was like, he's going to be an all-star this year. I was like, where and why? In the NBA? No, he's not. Like, what have you seen from Zach LaVine that says that guy's an all-star? That guy's one of the 12 best players in the East or West.
Didn't he have a poor month at the end of the season? I think it was March that one of the months he really struggled.
And he stays hurt, too. maybe some of this not his fault, but that's the reality.
Yeah. Russ is going to be there. He's a bulldog. He's going to fight. He'll be there for you.
I mean, you can ask our guy Julio Rosseo right here, who does Windy City Bulls stuff.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, they just re-signed one of the biggest Windy City Bulls of all time, Archidiaca, and they acted like that was the realness.
3 years. Let me give you three on that.
First guaranteed deal in the league.
I mean, yeah. What are they doing otherwise?
I agree with you, Herb. I think sometimes we get caught up in the championship talk. Well, does that make you a contender for the championship? Does every move have to be that? We were talking about this in the office before the show. So if you're saying you're not making the move because you're not going to win a title with Russell Westbrook, then you believe that this team with this front office is going to get you there eventually? How about getting to the playoffs first? And Paxson has talked about that. Well, we need to contend a little bit. We need to make this a destination where people want to go and sign. Well, even when they were making the playoffs, they still couldn't sign big-time free agents anyways. And I get Milwaukee and Philly are really good, and there's another tier of teams, too, that are pretty good. The Bulls can be in that other tier. And I just, after Milwaukee, after losing a big piece in free agency, I don't think they're head and shoulders better than everybody else.
And this year, the Bulls are hosting the All-Star game. Wouldn't it be great to have an All-Star in that game, starting for the team?
Yeah.
A guy where everybody's looking.
We definitely would in this conference.
Yeah, having eyes at Russ Westbrook. And it's like, you know what? That's a superstar. I thought Chicago didn't do superstars. Man, I like how they're treating him. Paying his $40 million. He likes the city. Maybe I can go there. Maybe not with what Russ, but the next generation of players don't think that, hey, I can't go to Chicago because A, B, and C. They know they don't treat superstars right.
And I like what they've done this offseason. About as good as they could do. With what they had to work with the seventh pick, and you get Satoransky wondering about, are they going to get a veteran point guard? They get him. It's summer league. I get it. But if you get anything out of a second-round pick in Gafford, that's big. Thaddeus Young, he's going to be available for you. He's good for this very young roster that you have. I like the moves that they've made. But this just jumpstarts everything. And if you're worried about Coby White, I mean, come on. Come on. You're not going to go add a talent like this because you're worried about Coby White's development, a guy that you haven't seen anything out of lately or yet? Julio, are you in on this too? Are you with us? Are we going 3 for 3 here? Or are you a big no?
That
sounds like a no.
Yeah,
that sigh, that deep sigh was a no. I strongly disagree with you guys, but I'm going to be nice about it.
No, my biggest issue with the Bulls is player development. Can they develop their young core to turn into a playoff contender over the next few years? Similar to what Toronto has done over the last few years. Pascal Siakam is an example. I mean, that guy was blossomed into a decent role player for a championship team in the Raptors. Or Milwaukee with Giannis. I mean, I just don't think the Bulls can develop their young core with Westbrook or not.
I'm getting so much reaction on the text line. Oh, the Bulls would bring in Westbrook when he has nothing left. He has nothing left? This is not the Dwayne Wade situation, guys. It's not Rondo. And Rondo was actually pretty good when he was here. A lot better than Wade. It's not that situation at all. And yes, he's going to make a lot of money for a few years. But you think he's going to be a bum next year? You think he won't be the best player on the Bulls roster? You're crazy.
Considering what Pax and what Jim Boylan have talked about in terms of wanting to bring in tough-minded guys, I think Westbrook would be the epitome, perfect type of guy for them.
And the people who are talking about, well, he was a bad teammate, people don't want to play with him, that's a total fallacy. I mean, Paul George was a free agent last year after playing 1 year with Russell Westbrook. If he didn't want to play with him, he could have signed somewhere else.
Who fights to stay in OKC?
Exactly. And he signed a long-term deal. Yes, he left this year because he saw a pathway with his hometown, a player also from SoCal with him that is about his age. And he
Kawhi's on the phone. Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
Exactly. He saw a pathway to go back to SoCal and make the same amount of money. It's all good. He's not leaving Russell Westbrook as a man. I can't play with this dude. He had his best year in his career. Paul George did, and Russell and Harden. There was enough balls around for him to go. It was him and KD, and then it was Harden. He was the third wheel on that team. So it was like, yeah, I want to be my own dude, and I want to go to do my own thing. So people are not leaving him because Russ Westbrook is hard to play with. People are leaving him because OKC is probably not great, and they weren't winning championships, and Kevin Durant left for a championship team.
Make them relevant again. At least be part of the conversation. The Bulls are in another NBA right now. They're not part of the conversation. They're part of the tanking conversation. That's what it's been. And only people in Chicago are really talking about what they're doing. 217, if the Bulls were one piece away, I'd trade for Westbrook. At this point, they're not, and he would absolutely kill their salary cap. Who are they signing? That's part of this. Who are they signing? Who are they bringing in? Have you looked at next year's class? Not impressive. It's not going to be as much fun as this past offseason was. All right, continue sending your thoughts on our conversation. Text messages 67011, 67011. Tweets at Joe0670, at Joe0670. All right, coming up next, our guy Cody Westerlund. He runs everything at 670thescore.com. And he covers the Bulls. He's there for every home game. He was part of our draft night coverage, doing a great job. He takes the other side of this. He is strongly against bringing Westbrook over to the Bulls. And he'll explain why next. You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.